That's the primary interpretation. It takes place in the Great Tribulation, what he's talking about here. And we're going to look at a devotional application of this passage. Let's start with verse number 1, where the Bible says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins," which it says, what'd they do there? They were what? What were they? They were foolish. Five was foolish. It says for a fact, five of them was foolish. And it says there, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us your oil, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he said, but he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." As we look at this message today, I want to preach half in, half out. Half in, half out. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you and we thank you, God, for this time to meet together here on this Sunday morning. We pray, God, that you'll open our eyes to the Word of God and our hearts to the Word of God by the Holy Spirit according to Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Lord, I pray you help me to preach today according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we look at this morning, I noticed that we're looking at this devotional application. I'm going to show you the parts of this parable. The first part up there in verse 1, he points it out and says this: "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." So the purpose is Jesus relates this parable to explain the kingdom of heaven that's going to be showing up in the tribulation time towards these Jews. Now, that's the primary interpretation of this thing. This is going to talk about them. He's going to give us some other things here. It's a warning literally to the Jews in the time of Jacob's trouble. If you are a Bible student, a Bible reader, you know you've read through Jeremiah before. Or if you hadn't, mark Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. He says, "For alas, that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." The time of Jacob's trouble is that tribulation. Where all cults mess up, they replace their self for that Jew that's in Matthew 25. God's not interested whether they think that or not. He knows what's going on. Jesus, a Jew, God manifest in Jewish flesh, might I add, is talking to other Jews in the flesh, not in the spirit Jews, in the flesh Jews. And that time of Jacob's trouble, they're going to suffer the most. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. They're going to be the ones that will be persecuted eventually by the Antichrist and tried to be killed off the face of this earth. They've been trying that since the time of Abraham to kill all the Jews. We didn't know the devilment of Hitler. We had no idea what he really was. He was on the cover of Time magazine, like Joe Biden, like Barack Obama, like Bill Clinton. All these people are going to cover of Time magazine, the man of the year, they say. Listen, they all have one thing in common. They hate Israel. They don't even know why they hate Israel, but I'll point out to you why. The Bible tells us for a fact about the Jew that that's God's chosen people. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of the world, of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." There's a spirit in them people that they don't know why, but they hate Israel. They want all the Jews dead. They want to give all their land away, which would put them out to be to not have any land, not welcomed anywhere in this world, and killed wherever they go. That's what they want. But somehow, in some way, we see in the Bible, during the tribulation, they survive and make it into the tribulation. And listen to this. They can't get rid of them. Every one of them wants to see Israel completely wiped off the map, because they know if they do that, they prove your Bible to be wrong. Therefore, evolution is right, sodomites are right, lesbianism is right, on down the line. They can get away with anything if they can prove that one thing. But the problem is, God is more stubborn than they are and just keeps them here in spite of all that. Sometimes we've noticed in the past what they'll do is God will raise up another country and put them in captivity when they're disobedient, and then they come back and rebuild. Somehow they lose all their land to the Arabs, and they come back and rebuild. Every time. Then these nations get involved. Just give them a little bit over. Them Palestinians. No, they're Arabs. They're from Egypt. They're from Saudi Arabia. They're over there lying to the United Nations, which is full of lies and devilment, and they're trying to take Israel's land all the time. What does Israel do? Stays there somehow. And if they were to take every bit of their land and try to kill all of them, they'll still be around during the Great Tribulation. Here's the funny thing about that. It's a warning to the Jews in the time of Jacob's trouble, but it's a warning to the Gentiles in the church age. Do not mess with that Jew. Every time we've seen a Gentile mess with that thing in our country, something bad happens in our country. Back years ago, George H. Bush was sitting there trying to get with Yasser Arafat, who is a criminal and should have spent his life in prison for the murder and the blood on his hands from the murder of all those Jews he tried to pull off, and even killing his own people and trying to say the Jews done that. That was a very wicked man, and he is as ugly as he was wicked. And listen to this. People followed him anyway, gave him money anyway. Jimmy Carter kept trying to negotiate peace between him and Israel. All I ever saw was him and Yasser Arafat shaking hands and smiling like they were buddies. That spirit was working in the children of disobedience. And then we saw him with George H. Bush over there signing that thing. And while that was happening, a freak storm that was coming towards the coast of Georgia goes directly north, New Hampshire, and cuts over into the Bush vacation home at the very hour he's trying to do something over there, Yasser Arafat. And then George W. Bush, his son, took office as president in 2001. During his time as presidency, he's down there doing the same thing. And Katrina hits New Orleans. That's been the biggest hurricane that we've seen in our lifetime. Biggest part of devastation of this country that I can remember in recent years. Hey, listen. You think it's all funny? It's snowing in Texas, by the way. Power's out in Texas from all the storms. Thank you, Green New Deal. Oh, we got to get rid of carbon emissions. Really? Do you think that's the problem? I think you are the problem. Right. You worry about a cow doing something out in the field. Why don't we take you out like you trying to take that cow out? Remember, they all don't like killing until it's one of us. Mm-hmm. Or that Jew. Yeah. And here's a crazy thing. It's a warning to the Gentiles in the church age. Listen, be good to that Jew. They're our enemies for the gospel's sake. They hate the gospel. I had a Jew tell me one time, I was in a car lot, went in, and they was working on my car, and I sat on a bench. He came up and sat beside me. He said, looking for a car? I said, not really. And of course, him being a salesman, said, let me give you a reason why I need a car. We got a special going this week. I can get you one, this off. What do you do for a living? And I'm thinking, I just told you no, but you're going to be persistent. I'm a pastor. Oh, well, you need a Cadillac. I do. I need a Cadillac. Yeah, we got two of them right there, and they're model this, that, and other. They got this, they got that. And I said, sir, I told you to start with, I don't need a car. You're putting tires on my car or something, or balance, or some kind of something they were doing. He said, are you a Baptist? I said, yeah. He said, you're just a browbeating devil anyway, ain't you? Y'all browbeat people. I said, browbeat them? He said, you holler at them and everything. I said, they don't listen. I said, your Jewish people wouldn't know nothing about that, would they? I've read the Old Testament. And I promise you that 2.5 million people that came up out of Egypt in a mixed multitude is like any Baptist church on this planet right now. Lost and saved, dwelling beside one another. Can't figure out why the thing's going the way it is. Hey, it's a warning to the Gentiles. It's a warning to the Jew. Second, what we'd call the parts that make up this parable. If you look down at verse number 2, we see the people of the parable. He deals with both of them. He says five of these people. Now watch this. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Verse 3, and they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, that's odd. I got to think about lamps and oil about this. if you have one of them things, you keep a supply of the other. It's kind of like nowadays. You got a flashlight, no batteries, you ain't got a flashlight. Of course, nobody has a flashlight anymore. We have an app on our phone, but no battery in that thing. You don't get no light either. I guess the modern day application would be that. Thou has the smartphone. Use the app and the smartphone, but keep thy battery charged. Amen. And the foolish did not charge their smartphone before they went out there. I ain't seen a Bible version touch that yet that does that. That's your modern equivalent right there. But watch what happens with that. They didn't take oil with them, and oil is a type of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. The presence and the power. Why is oil a presence and a power? While it's present, there's power. And thinking about that, Leviticus chapter 14, that priest come along, and they had to anoint him in a certain way. They had to anoint his ear on his right side, his thumb, and his right toe, and his right foot. And they anointed that thing. You know what they said about that? Now he can do three things. Number one, he can walk the walk for the Lord. Number two, he can take his hands and do the work of the Lord. And number three, he can take his ear and apply that to the word of the Lord. You and I, according to Jesus Christ, are now priests unto him, that we don't need a priest no more. Right. We is one. And because we is one, guess what we got? We've got the plain, simple plan of the Holy Spirit. When he enters our lives, now we've got the freedom to walk with the Lord, to work with the Lord, and now we can hear the word of the Lord. That's a brilliant application of that thing. These five, though, they didn't bring no oil. And listen, when you look at the oil, Psalm 23, verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And thinking about that blessed experience with the believer in which the Spirit of God not only indwells the believer and seals the believer, but he makes your cup to overrun. Listen, this ain't name it, claim it, this is fact. You walk with him and you walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God, you got a cup running over for you all the time. And I see people tell me when they first get saved, well, how do you tithe on your grocery income? Well, don't be gross about nothing, amen. Tithe on 10% of what you got, what God has allowed you to be paid that week. God didn't make up them taxes that you did. Don't worry, I won't tell the IRS you didn't tithe right. I won't tell them. Unless they call. They call, I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to go back there and read whatever's on there. Can't do nothing but that. And we look at stuff like that. People's always trying to figure out how to cheat the government. Don't worry about that. You're working for the Lord now. And whatsoever you do in all things, then do it unto the Lord. That's Colossians chapter 3 over there. And we do that, God will take care of us. So what does the government do? Takes things that don't belong to them. Are you listening? For 4 years, they couldn't say, well, let's just get us a raise because somebody in that Oval Office would say something against it. It's all about money. It ain't about Orange Man bad. It's all about money. And listen, if they are so enamored with this current outfit, they're going to bring that other one in for long because the dementia is there and everything. And they're going to get somebody in there that's going to get them more money, not you. They do not like you. They do not care about you.
Right.
I'll tell you something else. The famous politician down there in Texas, he flew to Mexico for 2 days and then come back, and now they're jumping on him. He's making all kinds of excuses. That's called abandoning ship, by the way. So you like him Democrats jumping on him? Well, they're right. They can be right once a year. Hey, if the power's out at your house, do you leave your wife and kids and go where the power's on? You know why they do that? They haven't got no oil. Don't come at me after service and tell me what a good Christian is. He's part of a charismatic, name it, claim it crowd, and his daddy's a prophet in that organization. Oh, please don't go tell that one, boss. Because he might have preached to some of y'all people's cousins at church. In fact, I know he did. When they got together this political thing and going to go down to Columbia and they mentioned they're going to have politicians speak, I'm out. Oh, these are good men. Yeah. Sure they are. That's why we're in the mess we're in now. We're looking for good men. And the Bible says just the opposite. There is none good, no, not one. They try to listen. These people take this stuff. It says they were five were foolish. And it says they that were foolish took their lamps, watch this, and took no oil with them. And this is a clear type of a professed believer that attempts the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what I just told you. This is an attempt to live a Christian life without the Holy Spirit. That's what we call in 2021 normal Christianity. We got a need, we go out and get yard sales to fill the need. We have something break, we go to the bank and borrow money to fix it. We go out here and say, well, we can't find a man to do it, so let a woman do it. That's what we're all about. That's what every church I know of is about. Let's handle it in the flesh. Whatever makes the most sense, let's do that. Has anybody ever told you that common sense is already gone? We don't have to look for it anymore. It's already gone. And you know who the biggest fool is? It's the one that says, I have common sense. You have pride. That's the opposite. I have. Why don't we get together and finance this thing by selling cookies? Why? Listen, it's an attempt by people to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. It's crazy how people define the Holy Spirit of God. They ask about the Holy Spirit of God, they say, he's part of the Trinity. What else about him? Well, he makes certain crowds flop on the floor and makes others be quiet. Yeah, that's amazing, ain't it? What else can you tell about the Holy Spirit? Well, did I say it's part of the Trinity? Yeah, you said that one. People don't know the Holy Spirit. There's a reason why they don't know the Holy Spirit. They have no oil in their lamp. And by looking at that, they fall into the category of apostate living. So what's apostate? Knowing to do right and not doing it. Let me ask you something. You're like me. If you're not sick, you're in the house of God. Why do you do that? Because you know the Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. You know that. You can point that out to people. And they'll look at you and go, okay. And then they won't do it. You can take your Bible, point out the very verses about the church being the body of Christ and on and on and on, how we assemble and all that, and they'll agree with you 110%. So how do you know they apostate? They won't do anything about it. Nothing. You can take people and show them the Bible where Malachi chapter 3 about tithing. You know what they'll do? They'll agree with you and then they won't do it. They know what to do and then they don't do it. They're trying to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You follow me? They not only have apostate living, they've got apostate loving to go on top of that. Let me illustrate. Well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I love the Lord. Do you now? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He wasn't talking about the 10 over there on top of the mountain. He said those were given to show you that you were not perfect and to make a schoolmaster to bring you to me. We're at him. We're saved. Now he says, keep my commandments. What's he talking about? He might be talking about this very stuff in the Word of God that I hadn't brought up that you're supposed to be doing. And the crazy thing is, God tells them this, and they say, but we love you, Lord. That's what Peter said. Lord, I love you. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Oh, besides that, Lord, I love you. That's apostate loving. They know what to love, but then they don't love it. They put things in front of him. The biggest excuse I hear nowadays, and this is crazy, they love their family more than they love their father. They love their family more than their father. The very fact the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the very sins they're committing right now, they think it's okay. That's apostate loving. It's knowing whom to love and not loving them. It's like when it says that in the last days that people won't be of natural affection. It's natural. It's natural for a Christian to love Christ. It's natural. And then they don't do it. They have no oil. The five of the bridesmaids down there in verse 2, he says this, five of them were wise, and you look at verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And we see these bridesmaids, they're a type of the believer who walks in the Spirit as to not fulfill the lust of the flesh and things. And it's a fruitful life they're looking to live. Let me show you your opportunity today. Look at Galatians chapter 5. This is what God has for you. I've been accused of being negative, but this is a very positive thing, but it's a negative thing at the same time. You got to have both trains of car, remember? To have power, you got to have positive, negative, and neutral. And listen to this. The Holy Spirit of God that's in the believer wants you to have a fruitful life. He says right here in verse 22, but the fruit. Now, let me remind you of something. It doesn't say fruits. It says one fruit. F-R-U-I-T. Did I spell that right in your Bible? That is not an archaic word. That is not a word hard to be understood. I was preaching this thing as the fruits of the Spirit, and an older man of God said, listen, I want to come at your house and eat fruits. That don't even sound right in English. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I said, you know about their fruits, they shall be known. He said, read your Bible, son, it says fruit. And I got to look at that. He said, there's elements that make up one thing. There's elements right here that make up a fruit. He said, have you ever ate an apple? I, of course, pleaded guilty. Golden delicious. I had an apple one time that was injected with grape where it tastes like a big old grape. Boy, that thing was good. Listen, I mean, I like them all. Except them that give you stomach aches when you rob them off the old little plantation down there over there near Draytonville. I think that tree's still standing, by the way. Me and my cousins got out there one day and we didn't know we'd have a bellyache after all that stuff. We just thought free food, man. We were seven, okay? About 20 minutes later, we was all dying. All of us coming in, holding our stomachs, thinking we was going to die. That's the first time I thought I was going to die in my life. I learned a lesson. Some things on the tree you don't touch unless somebody tells you it's okay. Right? I'm sure none of you've ever raided a watermelon patch. I'm sure you've never been by the peach trees and you've never been by the apple trees. I know you ain't been by the orange trees. So I don't think we got none up here. But I'm telling you, people do this stuff and they get in a mess. Look at that again, but the fruit of the Spirit is, apple has the seeds in it, right? It has a core. It has meat. I forget what them things are called on the bottom, but there's like leaf-looking things. What are they called? Do you remember?
The corona or something.
Yeah, them things. What, I couldn't understand what you said, but it's, I think you said corona. Did you say that?
Yeah, that's because of the shape of the
core. Ona. You get it? And listen to this.
Crown.
There we go. Crown. There we go. And then we got a that peel on that thing. All of them things are elements that make up an apple. Okay? Here is the elements that make up the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Love. You know what I'd call that? I'd call that the core thing, wouldn't you? I mean, really, that's the very thing that's at the center of the thing is love. Then he says joy. I'm amazed at the Christians who don't have joy in this world. I really am. It's like they've got everything, but they think they got nothing because they can't see it on this side. You and I walk by faith and not by sight. We may not see it now, but if God's got a program to get it there, His program's on the way. Just wait on God. You got love, joy, peace. A lot of Christians, all you are is a glorified social media drama queen. You air out your business on how people talk about you, and then they talk about you saying that, and then you get more mad. Why don't you just quit doing all that stuff? Listen, I've had people call out stuff and say stuff about me and said, you ain't going to answer? Why should I? It's stupid.
Yep.
Not them stupid. It is stupid. Because see, what you'll wind up in is a world one of these drama queens, and they can't be men, by the way. Straight white southern male drama queens. That don't even belong in the same sentence. Quit it. And you'll get these people out there and they have no peace because they're constantly stirring something. If you will quit stirring it, it will be peace in your life instead of war. Notice the next one down there, long suffering. That word does not mean patience. If it says patience in any modern version, that word is wrong. Long suffering does not mean patience. The Bible says plainly, do not pray for patience. Because you have tribulation and trouble to go with that so God can teach you patience if you want to learn it that way. Or you can learn it this way and come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me be long-suffering. What's long-suffering? That means you'll become able, you have the ability to put up with anything and anybody. Ain't that crazy? Listen to this one. He said gentleness. Gentleness. What's one of the qualifications for a deacon and a pastor over there? Is it not a striker? You can't be out beating up everybody that disagrees with you and slapping people you don't like. Do you understand that? I read a thing about Chuck Norris one time, and Chuck talked about them referees over in Japan when they'd fight them fights over there for whatever. Is he karate? Is that what he is? He said, that karate referee, if you slap that man out of turn, you got to fight the referee, and you don't want to fight him. He's not like a wrestling referee. I didn't see it. No, he's not like him. He's going to stop the fight, and you fight him, what I understand. You don't want to fight them guys. Most of them over there are probably ninjas. That's the referees, amen. They'll kill you. They'll beat you so bad you'll beg for your death. Why? Because you're slapping out of turn. Or you karate chopping out of turn, as it were. He said, gentleness, gentleness. Hey, you got to learn gentleness. How you learn that? By dying to self and letting the Holy Spirit put that through you, just like these other things. And then he says, goodness. Hey, listen, it don't cost you a dime to be good to people. Usually the very thing God wants you to give that you own or have, you don't use it no way. He says, give it to them. And you sitting there wrestling with, well, Lord, I don't know what they'll do with it if they got it. They'll probably do it once you got it. But anyway, if God says do it, be good to people. It don't hurt. In fact, listen to this. The next thing he says is faith. You and I live in the faithless Christian society. We don't believe God can do anything. These guys get up and go, oh, we need revival. And they don't believe revival could come in that church they're standing in. They'll leave that church preaching, say, that's the worst place I've ever been in. Cold, dry, all this other stuff. No tears and all that. But you don't cry either there, big boy. The best crying they knew is that fake pulpit crying. And I ain't got no time for that, and I know God don't. Amen. Oh, dear God. My son was 7, 6, maybe 5 years old. Mama, why do they fake cry like that? It's because they ain't got nothing in them to cry. They're operating without oil, see. You got the oil in you, Aaron, some things upset you pretty bad. It ought to upset you. It ought to upset you when you see sinners dying and going to hell. It ought to upset you when you see people trampling over God's Son and God's Scriptures. Nobody cares. Nobody. Do we believe this book by faith? Give me a checkbook and I'll let you know. So why my checkbook? Because that will tell where your heart is and what you believe. Listen to me. If I believe God, I'm going to do what God says with all that. I hadn't had a checkbook since 2005. I just now found this out the other day because somebody said, you got to bring either cash or a check to this thing. So I got to figure out some way to get a check to go take care of something. Because if we get cash, she'll get it and I won't have it, right? Mm-hmm. Wives have, when they get married, they can smell cash folded in a leather billfold in a pair of pants from a mile away if it's her husband's pants. I told the bank the other day, she said, can we give that back to you in cash? I said, no, I'll put it somewhere else. I said, she'll know I got it before I get home. Some, y'all laughing, but y'all know I'm telling it right. They know. They just know. Here's the other part. When you take that thing by faith and you look where it goes, 10% of it goes right back to God. You faith promise missions, and then God may burden your heart about something else. I know people in this church help other people sometimes. I've helped people. People's helped me. You never know what God's going to use that you got that he's going to multiply in your life. I look out there in that parking lot and I say, man, God's blessed you. None of you had to walk, I don't think. I used to walk to church and I moved away so I wouldn't have to walk to church no more. Listen, faith, do you believe God can? Do you believe God can? Or are you going to help God? If you want a story about that, to back that up, read the lives of Abraham and Sarah, especially when she tried to help God, how that turned out for us here today. You want proof the Bible's true? Read Genesis chapter 15 all the way through 24 over there and come back and tell me what's going on today is not the result of that. You know in school right now they will not teach Christianity in school. They will not. But they'll teach your kids how to do yoga, which is the Oriental religion. They'll teach your kids the Muslim religion. Do it all over this country. Well, when they do it here, they've already done it. Don't do you bragging now. They've already done it. It's been around since 2004. You know when we started letting the enemy in our public school? And by the way, how does somebody have a senator or House of Representatives that's one in towel heads that wants our president to die and we hadn't got them for treason and hang them?
Yep.
If you said that, they'd come get you.
Yep.
But if you're a member of Congress and you're a Muslim, I guess you can get away with it. But don't worry, she loves face masking because where are they from? They demean you by keeping it on your face if you're a woman. Wonder how she's going to look like all that. She ain't going to be smiling with a little dot on her head then, is she? So you ought to say that, preacher. Why not? Nobody else will say it. They thought Trump was bad. Let me be president. Maybe 4 days. They'll have me killed. I'll be deporting people that ain't got a thing, and I'll start in Congress and get rid of half of them. You talking about impeachment? No, we're going to throw them right there in the treason aisle. Giving our money away to all these countries that's shooting, hating us and everything, killing Christians, and we're supporting that? Like I said, you think Trump's bad. See, you got a faithful life in Christ because of the fruit here, and he points out meekness, and being meek is probably the opposite of being prideful, and you got temperance. And temperance, a lot of people define that word as self-control, but the word temperance does not mean self-control in context, it means spirit control. You know what I think is a good idea? Listen to this. If you want to have a bake sale to raise money, if it's for a cancer victim, I'm okay with it. I'll buy the first pie. I'll host the whole thing. But it's for the church? No. You've got that backwards. We're supported by tithes and offerings, not by yard sales.
Right.
I've had people say, he preaches against yard sales. Can you believe that? No, I'm not against them. I'm against the church having them to support the church financially.
Right.
And it's usually a bunch of God-robbing thieves comes up with an idea. And every time I preach this somewhere, the pastor won't get right on it. When I leave, them bunch of devils come right back to him. Grow a spine. Be a man. And say, listen, you heard what the man said the Bible said. Let's do what the Bible says. Temperance. Spirit control. You know what you ask the Lord to help you with? Help you to understand that in this parable, the crowd that took the oil, that type of Bible-believing Christian, they do what the Bible says. You and I over the years have seen God bring money and put water in a cup where there was no water. We've seen our faith before, but we're not done. We're waiting on God to do it again. And when we get done with that, there'll be something else. And we'll walk by faith, because I don't be a church like Thessalonica. That is the church manual everybody needs, the new converts material everybody needs. Because Paul said, your faith is known abroad. Do you know right now, while you're sitting here, Victory Baptist Church is known in Ukraine? They tell them about us in the Ukraine. Isn't that something? You didn't even realize that, did you? Scotland over there, they talk about us in Scotland. They tell how the church is in Scotland. Hey, listen, you don't realize that your faith, people tell about what you do for the Lord. That's why God keeps this thing going the way it is. Oh, we baptized 23 the other night. We gonna baptize one too, but listen, it ain't about what you baptize and what you run. It's what he does through you that counts. Listen, people say, well, you can't get blood out of a turnbull. He can get it out of here pretty good. I've never seen a church this size survive as long as we have with the money we got. Only reason we doing that is because we're doing what God said. Nothing more, nothing less. Very simple. And if you believe God, he'll do more with the crowd that's small, because he said little is much when God is in it in the song. That comes from Scripture. What does that verse say? About the little flock? What does it say, brother? What does it say? My Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. Oh, I don't know what you can do, but I do. Look up and wait for it. It might have to come out of a man's hand, but we'll take it out, or a woman's hand. Whatever. We don't care. However God sends it. You know it would be just great? You know what would be just great? If some of you got in on this by faith and got to see that, and got to see how God done a work there, because we're spirit-led and spirit-controlled rather than financially in a crisis. You know what you do? You ask. See, you knock. You wait on God. God will take care of it. We've never had a need in 26 years. I haven't seen God met by this church, this one right here. And God, if you sow your principles to God, you get rewarded in spirit, not in the flesh. And when you need something, God will be there for you. I've heard for years people say, well, I sow to the principle of the Bible. I do too, and I sow it right to the local church. If I got money extra in my pocket, and I see that, let's see, Brother Brian's walking to church, I'll let him walk up the hill. I say, why are you walking? Well, all our cars to it. Well, I'm not going to go up to Hardy's and find me a drunk up there and give him money to run the liquor store. I'm going to go get him a bicycle, amen. A four-person bicycle. Right? Say, so Brother Fane says, my red truck tore up and we can't get the other crank. Well, I'm going to try to jump him off with the battery cables. If that don't work, we'll buy him a battery. See, that's what you do. You don't go around here giving a bum's hand to go up at the liquor store. You're enabling them people. But the problem most of the time in churches, they don't go out to Hardy's and do that. They have a son or daughter or granddaughter or somebody that's going into dope all the time. Well, if you give me some money, I'll do well. And they keep falling for that dumb stuff. They're like they are because you made them that way. Quit doing that.
Yep.
So the principle of God's word. Well, that ain't in the Bible. Oh, I believe it is. Look right over across the page here at verse 6 of chapter 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow as a neighbor, you reap as a neighbor. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Hey, God's got a great plan ahead of us, you know what it is? He wants us to be Spirit-filled Christians and to live for Him. We'll pick up on this later in the afternoon, in the night service. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.